All right, let's go. All right, we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Top DAT Podcast, everybody. I am your Uplift Athletic Trainer, Dr. Brandon Holland.
And I am the Unapologetic AT, Dr. Donita Valentine.
We have a fun one for you today. I'm so excited about our guests. Ever since I first met this young man, I've been looking forward to this interview. So let's get started. So before we jump in with our guest, what do we have to share with our listeners?
All right. So we have CopaCon, which is, coming up April 26th.
Yep.
So CopaCon is the council, the NATA's Council on Practice Advancement, and they are hosting its fourth conference with educational content programming that showcases the power of technology and explores the latest trends to ensure the well-being of patients in a range of settings. So the target audience is all athletic trainers interested in the emerging settings of athletic training. When with the changes in athletic training, I feel like all of the settings in athletic training are emerging.
Sure.
So many changes taking place. So they have a live portion on April 26th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. So come learn and share and chat with the presenters. There's a welcome and a keynote from 10 a.m. to 10:50. And it's the Athletic Training Pioneers Then and Now. It'll feature a moderator. Stephanie will be moderating, and she will be hosting Tim Kelly, Linda Mazzoli, Nancy Burke, and Elaine Winslow Redmond, all from various emergent settings in athletic training. And then there will be a few COPA talks. You can choose your preferred session between 10:55 and 11:40. Your options are entrepreneurial insight, exploring athletic training in military settings, and from athletes to employees, transition to occupational health. And so after that, there's an educational live session from 11:50 to 12:50. And then the on-demand will be available from April 26th to June 7th, where you can learn at your own pace. And you might see your favorite co-host of your favorite podcast in that on-demand programming. So please check out CopaCon if you are so inclined and have the time.
Yes, keep an eye out for your favorite podcasters on CopaCon. I am super excited about that. What else do we have? Batch Ball is coming up. So if you are in the area of Baltimore around May 3rd, you need to get your butt over to the Batch Ball. If you're not, you can still donate. BASH is an acronym that stands for Baltimore Area Sports Health Initiative. And it is founded by a great dude named Colin Francis. Shout out to Colin Francis. Had a great interview on WJZ this week where Absolutely. He was able to feature some of the work that he's been doing. BASH is an organization that aims to get better health care to underserved communities, particularly the communities around Baltimore City. So we're having the BASH Ball this year is May 3rd. Tickets for the gala, it's a fundraiser. All proceeds go towards that mission. Tickets are $150 each. So it's a Studio 54 theme, so you wear your best threads, black tie event, and get fancy. And come have some food and chat and rub elbows with some of the top people in the profession and some athletes and some celebrities and some regular schmoes like me.
Might find your favorite podcasters there too. I don't know.
Boom. It might be a thing. So come on out, please support. If you can't make it, please still purchase a ticket or you can donate. All of this stuff can be done on the website, baltimoreathletehealth.org. That is baltimoreathletehealth.org. And I am looking forward to getting Colin on Top Dat as a guest so we can pick his brain about some of the incredible things that he's working on.
Yes, that is awesome. Looking forward to May 3rd at 8 p.m. The Power Plant?
Yes. The Power Plant. Power Plant Live, yes.
All right. So, are we ready to... Well, let's talk a little bit about our season 3, episode 1 with Dr. Creaseworth.
That was a blast, wasn't it?
It was amazing. It was well received by our community. So I'm hoping everyone really enjoyed that podcast. We certainly had a great time recording it and getting that out for our audience.
Indeed. And speaking of emergent settings, right? We have a sport that's been around for a while in jiu-jitsu. But now this having athletic trainers present to provide care for these athletes is kind of something that's been happening within the past few years. So that's an emergent setting.
Yes, it is. So, talking about the mat side suturing, I worked a rugby event this weekend, and the lacerations were they were just coming one after another. And I was like, you know what? This really is, you know, something that we should really be thinking about here.
Yeah. So now what's in your toolbox? That's the title of the episode, right? So
yep.
Being able to have that, the ability to suture in your toolbox would be an incredible advantage for athletes. So PACs, if you're listening, I know you guys got a ton of work on your hands already trying to do other things to further our practice and our profession, but we're always looking to advance. So
indeed. And I think that's something that's needed. It just so happened at this particular tournament, there was a physician assistant there. So she was doing her thing, getting those sutures taken care of. She had her kit in the car. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, again, I don't know what her, you know, her licensure, what, you know, how she figured that out. But I know the first person she sutured was family.
Well, it's so good to have a suturer in the family.
Absolutely. but definitely going to look into that. Got myself signed up for a class. So I'll be looking into that as well.
I'll get that information from you because I'm interested in that.
Okay, cool. We can do it together, just like old times.
Yes, indeed. That means we won't learn a thing. All right, are we ready to introduce our special guest?
Absolutely, for sure. Would awesome. You like to take it, or would you like for me to?
I think it's appropriate for you to do it.
Okay. All right. I am so pleased and honored to announce our guest for this episode, Evan Bowie. He is a high school senior in Northeast Washington, D.C. He is an athlete, a poet, a student, and an advocate. He is a high school senior. Future Dr. Evan Bowie's ultimate goal is to enhance educational and healthcare systems to foster the development and well-being of individuals, is his primary goal. He envisions a future as a dedicated physician committed to addressing society's healthcare needs through excellence and cutting-edge research, particularly in the realms of cardiac diseases and physiology. Evan aims to demystify the field of medicine for the general public by sharing his frontline healthcare experiences. As a prospective doctor, Dr. Bowie, he harbors a keen interest in trauma surgery, emergency medicine, and critical care. While his research pursuits encompass cardiac arrest, pre-hospital care, emergency medicine, women's health, and pediatrics. Apart from his academic pursuits, Evan finds joy in weightlifting, hurdling, mentoring others, and composing poetry. His profound concern for healthcare disparities and public health concerns is evident in his endeavors. Evan's affable nature shines through his love for family, laughter, and good food. Please welcome future Dr. Evan Bowie. I'm so grateful to have you on.
Hello. Indeed. Welcome to the show. This is going to be a blast. I always love talking to young people who are interested in the field of medicine. That needs to be more of us. That needs to be more of us. So
yes,
I'm excited
indeed.
To have you, and I'm excited for the path that you're on. And I am very much looking forward to it, looking forward to your journey.
So Evan is thinking of the things that Evan does on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, just is exhausting. Just makes me want to take a nap because he's just a ball of energy running from this internship to this practice, to this class, trying to learn everything that he can to get himself prepared for his work as a trauma surgeon. So I first met Evan at a football game at, it was Kip Legacy versus Ron Brown. So Ron, so Evan just walks up to me. He's like, hi, you know, I'm Miss Mara's student athletic trainer. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I hand him a walkie talkie. And it's just kind of just been like that from that day on. Every time I have something going on, I'm like, Evan, what are you doing? You know, you come get some experience. And he's like, oh, this is my schedule. I can be there at this time, that time. And he's like making it happen in between all these other appointments that he has, where he's trying to just learn absolutely everything that he can on top of being a high school senior student and a student athlete. So very impressed with Evan. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? And Evan was also featured on the news recently. And it had a very long segment. So I'll link that in the post that we, when we announce our podcast. So just look in the link on Instagram and you'll find a link to his interview. What was it? News Channel 9, Evan?
NBC.
NBC, okay.
Or Channel 4.
All right. Yeah. So I'll link that so everyone can see. That's a very cool interview. So just kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you have going on, and what kind of inspired you to pursue a career in trauma surgery.
So my name is Evan Bowie. As they said, I am a high school senior. I do hurdles and I like to write poetry. I am born and raised in Washington, D.C. I am a city kid at nature. Some other things about me. Discussion always gets tricky because like, I never know what to say.
That's because there's so much.
Yeah, there's a couple things about me. As we talk, you can hear more things about me as well. What got me to like medicine in general was, one, my mom's death. When she died, I was 9 years old and she died from something called cardiomegaly. And so that was one of the things that got me into medicine. But then as I kept pursuing medicine even more, I recognized that I also had a nick for advocacy, the clinicals experience, but also actually having hands-on patient care, but then also the academics portion of it. So that's what like, I break it down to discovery, academics, and clinical, academics, and advocacy. Yeah. And so with some things I got on from going on for myself now is preparing to end high school, but also preparing to end EMT school as well, and then starting college as a nursing student.
Okay. All right. And where did you decide to attend university?
I am going to Georgetown.
Georgetown University, big ups.
Georgetown School of Nursing.
All right.
Oh, Georgetown got their hands on a good one, for sure. Congrats.
They definitely made the right choice.
Congrats
there
to you and congrats to them, for real.
Thank you.
So you mentioned your mom's passing, but are there any other experiences in high school that are preparing you for the path that you have in front of you?
Yes. I definitely would say my time shadowing in the hospital, seeing the patients and seeing how, if you just talk to your patients, seeing like how some people come on their worst days and they're looking for someone to help them, especially the people of color. They're looking for someone they can relate to, someone they can actually trust, and being able to be there is actually been helpful for me. Also, I would say the athletic training aspect, when the learning how to manage and rehabilitate certain athletes and injuries has also been very motivating to me. And one of the things that, like a personal story, was when I was in the hospital and I had to do CPR one time. That was a good way to learn how to navigate trauma, because that's a trauma situation, and to also turn it into something that can make me move forward into medicine as well. So.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to have to do. I actually have four instances where I had to perform CPR, and I don't know if it ever gets easy for me. I think I just get better at it. Just performing through the stress. But kudos to you, because that's something that a lot of professionals will freeze up, even if they've never had to deal with it, because it's a very high pressure situation, and you want so desperately for it to go well, and in the end, so little of it is actually in your control. All you can do is the best you can do, and So, and a lot of times I know we're hard on ourselves, or we're afraid to take action because we don't want it to go bad. So,
yeah, I totally agree.
What were some of your takeaways from that experience? Because you literally screenshotted me your CPR certification, and then maybe a week later, you told me you had to roll with it.
It was definitely, so what happened was, it was, I was about to leave to go to EMT school, but then one of the doctors who I shadow with, and he was like, hey, we need trauma shears. So I ran, like, grab mine, and then he was like, hey, I need you to, like, put your hand right here and, like, feel for this femoral pulse. So there's something called the Lucas machine, where, like, it manually does the CPR for you. So you put your hand there at the femoral pulse to determine if the CPR is, like, well enough and the heart is actually pumping blood. And so we do that, right? But then we now need to switch to manual CPR. And so the nurse goes first and does the 2 minutes of CPR. And the doctor's like, hey, I need you to get up there and do CPR after her. And so after the time, I'm calm, I'm ready actually to get up and do CPR. I'm like, what's not like, oh no, CPR time. One of the things I think why I was so bold in that moment, and even though, like, it was my first time, is one, because I had the multiple classes. I just had a week before that, actually, I had the CPR course refresher class. And the doctor was like, oh, if you're ever in the hospital with me, we have a code, you're doing CPR. Or always check, rewatching YouTube videos like at least every 3 weeks on how to do CPR, what's how to recognize it. And so then I was with the doctors. When I got up there, I was like, chest compression, let's go. I need to make, and so I had the nurses and doctors right there next to me as I did chest compressions. And I wasn't like scared. I just know I had to continue to listen to them because they're the ones that are expert in doing the CPR. And so at the end of that, they said I did a pretty good job. That even through the midst of all like the yelling and like, hey, I need this and that, I was able to still focus on them to get accurate CPR. So we were able to get a pulse back after I did CPR. So that's pretty good.
Okay. All right. Oh. Very good.
Indeed.
So how have your experiences in high school prepared you for the challenging path ahead in medical school?
Definitely like time management and studying. So I could have finished high school a little bit earlier in semester one. So that's the end of like end of January, technically. But I decided to take more classes, the physics and pre-calculus. So the time management side, you want to build up your resume, but you also want to maintain school. So learning how to delegate my time and like what's important, what I need to take a break from, is something that is helping me. I'm actually taking a break from shadowing, actually. So my last like shadow day is like on trauma surge is April 27th. And that's teaching me how to learn when to like disengage from something if I don't really have to be there in the moment. Since shadowing is not a responsibility, it's a want. So I'm learning to.
Right. That's good that you're setting boundaries, because you have to be able to do that in order to move forward, because you can't, you know, focus on pleasing everyone and doing everything and sticking with the situation. Once you've gotten what you need from it, it's time to move on. And that's a part of setting boundaries. And I'm still learning how to do that. So it's good that you're getting your hands on that early and doing that now, because that's definitely going to help you in the future, in the very short future, getting your goals. Because if you try to do everything and don't prioritize, you know, what's top priority, it's going to throw you off. You're going to get tired because energy is not free. And I said you have a lot of energy, but there'll be times when you start to run down, and knowing when to set boundaries is great.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. So trauma surgery, you got to have your wig screwed on tight, man. It's a demanding education and a demanding lifestyle. Have you had the opportunity to shadow or volunteer in the medical setting to gain any insight in the daily demands of a surgeon's life?
I have, actually. I have, I think like at least 40 hours on trauma surgery shadowing. I have done overnight shifts, so one time like 18 hours, one time I did like something was another overnight shift, and I'm able to see that when you're a trauma surgeon or when you're a general surgeon, so become a trauma surgeon, you got to go to high school, college, medical school, pass all your board exams, and then match into residency. You have to match into general surgery and then apply to trauma surgery. So when I'm shadowing the general surgeon, I sometimes see how when they're in trauma surgery, they're not always responding to trauma emergencies.
Right.
Sometimes they do consults. Sometimes they're sitting around finishing up their notes. And notes are basically like patient documentation. Since they're also general surgeons, sometimes they're doing own other departments like vascular or cardiac, depending on what rotation they are. But when you're an actual trauma surgeon, you have way more responsibilities as well. Yeah, you may respond to those traumas, but like I said, sometimes you may have to teach students. Sometimes you may have to be at the head of a committee. So I got to see that traumas are not everything in the trauma surgery world. But yeah, I do like trauma surgery. It's pretty dope. But to see when they do have to respond to an emergency, how well they're able to use something called evidence-based medicine to respond to these emergencies, work as a team. So in medicine, we like to go through sometimes, like, also in athletic training as well, but definitely in the hospital, we go by, like, us like to do a systematic approach. So if a person is, let's say, in cardiac arrest, what is their like, heart rhythm, right? Okay. Is it something called pulseless electrical activity, or is it ventricular fibrillation? And based on those two criteria, then you move on to the next step. If it's ventricular fibrillation, okay, now we need a shock. If it's PEA, you don't need a shock. And then what's next after that? Then what's next after that? And so that's what gets some of them so fast and get the best. That's what makes trauma surgery or like critical care trauma centers so well, is because they follow a systematic approach. So like a general, every person who, so two people who have cardiac arrest are not, cardiac arrests are not the same, but because they have the systematic approach, they're able to keep us a good old straight line, and so they don't deviate all over the place when taking care of this person. So that's what I've learned as well.
Just generalized so protocols.
They're not guessing. Yet. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Standard operating procedure. Very cool. And yep, so yep, what yep. else, what else do you really like? What you said, you really love trauma surgery. You think it's pretty dope. What is it that does it for you about trauma surgery?
I think also like emergency medicine, critical care, but like also think knowing how to care for someone when there's not much time left really does it for me. It really pushes my mind to think critical. Sometimes in school, I like always have time, like thinking on the spot sometimes, or like always gotta take my time with certain stuff. But being in trauma surgery, emergency medicine, or like the critical care aspect, if you see something, you got to know, like knowing how to do it, knowing what to do, realizing that you can't do it on your own. It's something that makes it also well for me. But then also like being able to give hope to those patients who like you help a patient, you help them get back to care. And they're like, thank you for that. It's something that I like, or being able to recognize, because certain departments in medicine, you don't always treat critical care patients. And sometimes you forget how to recognize that if a patient is in this or a patient's in that. Not all doctors, not all nurses, not all techs. But the trauma surgery allows me to keep a general aspect of medicine, but still being like a specific field. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I'm still learning about why I want to be a trauma surgeon. I have like 8 more years to determine if I'm actually going to be one. I do know that I will work in the critical care aspect of medicine. So if that becomes an anesthesiologist, I will do an anesthesiologist residency. If that's emergency medicine, I'll do pediatric emergency medicine fellowship, because still critical care. I do trauma surgery. Bling, if I do internal medicine, I'll do internal medicine with a fellowship in something else. So yeah, it's critical care, but yeah.
Okay, I love how you're still open to everything.
Yeah, I also like I like OBGYNs a field. I don't know if I've become an OBGYN, but I like the field of OBGYN. They're still surgeons, but they're also still working critical care situations as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And when you speak about women's health, you are passionate about that. That's a big field, how you spoke on how minorities seek someone who understands and is empathetic and listens to them. that is something that's really missing, especially in the field of women's healthcare. So I would love to see you follow that path as well. That would be awesome because you have that nurturing, caring spirit as well. So you'd be a perfect fit there also. Yeah,
and there's tons of heavy research regarding outcomes in women's health, particularly with childbirth, labor, and delivery, how the outcomes are different in between Black women and women of other races, you know, and given in similar situations. It's just been shown that their complaints are not taken as seriously, and action is not taken as often not taken in a timely manner, and it results in worse outcomes. So I think what you're on to is such an early stage in your pursuit of medicine is an incredible path, and your insight into it at such an early stage is impressive.
Thank you. With the representation, another reason why I like the critical care aspect, like being there for some people, because I want to come back to DC and work or like Maryland and stuff like that. And a lot of time I see a lot of Black patients come in to the ER, and sometimes some doctors can be biased depending on, or nurses can be biased depending on what this person is coming in for. And so this person could be like alert, and they need, sometimes they want to see that they have a Black person taking care of them in this like emergency situation, or and so they can just feel comfortable, because I don't know the medicine behind it or science behind it, but I probably think like if someone is a person of color coming into like a high stake, like they're in really bad shape, and they come into the ER or the hospital, and they see a person who is not like them, and like sometimes they can get some like anxiety, that can probably make their state of condition even worse compared to if they came into the hospital and they saw someone like them. Their state condition may be worse, but their feelings and emotions may be dialed down so they can actively talk and communicate with the provider. So, yeah.
That's what we call the biopsychosocial aspect of healthcare. And you already have that completely nailed. So what specific qualities do you feel that you possess that will help make you a successful trauma surgeon or any of the other fields that you spoke about? So.
One, I definitely do think my willingness to always learn. You never stop learning. And so one patient, just because you deal with one patient who may need their gallstones removed, not maybe the same for this patient. So always like willingness to learn and like knowing how to navigate certain situations. I definitely say also my empathy. I'm willing to like connect and actually treat the person. One of the things I learned from a doctor named Dr. Wilson, he's an orthopedic surgeon at Howard, Robert Wilson. You treat the person, and that's what something I like. I like actually just seeing the person and not being biased. That's what also something that killed me. Well, I also say, being able to think on my feet quickly and recognize when situations are, but also something I think and does also make like good qualities and knowing when to step back, knowing when to like not always like if you have a patient and you can see like they're very anxious, some people like don't recognize that. So some people, as I talked, one doctor told me, some people are smart, like have the medicine, but they don't have the communications, or some people have both of them, but they don't have the awareness skills. And realizing when the patient doesn't want to hear all that, so we may need to do this and that, they just want like a sense of comfort. So that's some of the things. But also teamwork is a good skill. Always like knowing when I can't do something and I need help, how I need a consult, I need to learn this more, I need to work on this more. So yeah, that's something. Some things.
All of those are great qualities for sure.
So it's gonna get busy for you, right?
Yeah.
How do you plan to balance the rigors, demands of medical school while maintaining a healthy work-life balance?
Definitely prayer in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. And
indeed,
without him, I wouldn't be able to be in medicine in general. And so realizing that my strength and like source of like comes from him. That's one way. Writing down my schedules, multiple different schedules, like in my phone or a book. Limiting myself to not do so many things. So once I'm in medical school is like pretty like demanding. So having like, hey, I may not need to go out this day. Or if I do, I go out at the beginning of the week and I go at the end of the week. And then that still has allowed me to keep my fun. Or something else that I still have to do is knowing when like to stop doing work. Like, yeah, we may have like to study, but if I'm sleepy, go to sleep, because I'm not going to actually learn in the material if I'm trying to stay up. My eyes half open. So, it's self-care.
That was a great answer all the way around. Love it.
So we talked about this a little bit. Have you considered like specializing in a specific area within trauma surgery if you decide to go that way? So if you could choose between like pediatric trauma or neurotrauma, have you thought about that?
Yes. So I don't want to like, I'm very open to it, but I definitely do like working with kids. But I also do like, I have to think about like specializing, but I haven't thought about the same time. The only specialized that I thought about is pediatrics, but I don't know how that works because I don't want to become a pediatric general surgeon. I just want to become a general surgeon who becomes a trauma surgeon. So I don't know like what's the requirements to work as a, if you did like general surgery residency without doing like pediatric general surgery, how do you go to work at a trauma hospital for children if you didn't do pediatric general surgery residency? So I have thought about it. I just don't know how that works. I have to ask like one of the trauma surgeons I know. And then also with emergency medicine, I have thought about it further specializing. So you have the realm of emergency medicine. And then you have like fellowships like pediatric emergency medicine. Then you have the ultrasound emergency medicine. Then you have EMS fellowships. You have medical education. So I have thought about further specializing in emergency medicine, but trauma surgery now.
So, what are your goals as far as the impact that you hope to make on your patients, your future patients?
Definitely to give them a sense of like motivation and hope, knowing that when you come to the hospital, that you don't have to like, be in fear, like clench up or like hesitant around like me per se. Another thing I'm trying to give my patients is that your needs are going to get met. You have a responsibility, or we have a responsibility to take care of you. And so you can voice your concerns. If you don't like something I'm doing, say it. If you prefer a different way or like want me to probably think about something else, do it. Even though my medical education may sometimes be the best in that situation, being able to give the patient an autonomy to also decide their care. So that's something I want to leave. And also, they can do it as well if they wanted to decide to go into medicine. So if I did pediatrics, giving my hope to my patients, hey, if you want to do doctor, you want to do electrician, you want to be an actor, you can always do it. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So what advice would you have or what would you give to other high school students who aspire to pursue a career in medicine, and particularly in your field of trauma surgery?
Be bold. Be bold. Always be open as well. And yes, I may. One of the doctors, emergency medicine, Dr. Kat Ogles, one time she taught a lecture. And then, like, ever since then, yeah, I may say trauma surgery, but I'm not in the back of my mind. My head is always open for all different fields. So be open. You never know where life may take you. You can still pursue that certain career. Like, you don't always have to have your mind set right away. I may have my mindset, but it may be changed, and I'll be okay with that as well. Always network. Get your story out about why you do something. Like, let people know your why. And then also, like, even you don't also have to explain yourself. about why you're doing something, if you want to pursue something, just do it. Because at the end of the day, 2 months are going to go by very quickly. Mm-hmm. And you may not see this person again. And if you let that person say, hey, for me, I'm doing nursing and doctor. And some people, not you guys, but like some people in the hospital, be like, oh, yeah, you just don't do that. You're just going to like, oh, I'm a tech. I'm going to become PA. Just know like what's your why and why you're doing something, because these people haven't been with you since the day you were born and they don't know why you're doing certain things. So, yeah, that's some advice.
Awesome. Cool. That's the message. Dropping gems today, man. I'm excited. Yeah, so know your why and don't let anybody take you off your block. I love it. I love it.
Sounds like you're using a systems approach to figuring out your path in life.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to put you on the spot. But do you have a poem that you wouldn't mind sharing? Or
yeah, I do a short one.
Okay. Yes.
I do got them on deck. I love it.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Okay, why don't you, it's called Smile, but it says, why don't you smile? Your smile is like a ray of sunshine. Your smile lights up the room, your smile lights up the room, turn frown faces into faces of joy. Show that smile, for it's your greatest possession. Never stop smiling. For your smile holds great power, the power to devour evil. Even the devil can't stop that smile. Yeah, that's that.
Nice.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, I have some better ones, but they're longer and take time.
Maybe another episode.
Yeah.
All right. So how do you envision contributing to the medical community and improving patient outcomes as a future trauma surgeon?
Definitely. Just as a doctor in general, becoming a teacher, teaching medical students hopefully one day on like cardiopulmonary section of medical school. Definitely trying to create like a pipeline program for medicine, like one of the doctors Yasser Hussein has done with DC HAP. Another way I could want to like contribute to the medical like inpatient aspect would be working on like healthcare reform, like what giving easier access to healthcare insurance, because we know that a lot of patients come to the ER, like they can get help. But like, if you need a special cert, like a special specialization in certain like a field, you gotta pay a lot of money for this. So that's what I would like to work on for patients and stuff.
Okay. Awesome.
Very cool.
Well, I think that's a ton of information, and thank you so much for joining us. Should we move forward with the? If we wrap up, so. How can people find you, or do you want people to find you on social media? Where can they, I mean, cause you're doing some incredible stuff. And I think what you're doing, I'm not an old dude, but I'm older, you know, and what you do motivates me. So I know there are some younger people out there who see a little bit of themselves, you know, maybe going down this path, and to see someone who is not that far removed from where they are doing exactly that. Where can they find Evan?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Evan_Bowie1. You also can look at my Twitter, Evan, capital E, EVAN, capital B, 8. I would give you two, but I don't know. You can also find me on, no, TikTok, I don't know, because not everyone needs to see my, even though it's like medical stuff, I don't think all adults need to be following your child's account. So
I dig that. I dig that. But what I do love is, so TikTok is fun.
Yeah,
and
it is.
It's things that fun. It might be going away, but we get so caught up a little bit in pursuing the serious parts of ourselves that we don't make time for fun. And fun is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
So
indeed.
Don't never let that part of yourself go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys can definitely follow Instagram and Twitter. And then, yeah.
All right, for
Also,
sure.
LinkedIn. I don't know my LinkedIn by heart, but now I ask them to tag it.
We'll get it from you, and we'll put it
Yeah.
in the notes, and we'll put it on Instagram when we blast you out.
Okay.
So thank you so much for stopping by, taking time out of your very busy schedule to sit down and chat with two old people.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Indeed, that was so much fun. Oh man. So we have anything? Did we leave anything out?
No, I think that's it. Do you have any speaking engagements or anything coming up in the near future, Evan?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Attending anything cool, any educational event, special events that they have?
EMT school and like almost
Okay.
finishing. That's really it.
All right.
I don't have anything like
Okay.
else.
All right. Well, looking forward to you finishing up EMT school.
Yeah, please let us know because we want to shout you out, and
Yes, I do.
we want to big you up.
I really need to pass the final, like the national exam. So yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
So for now, we'll say take it easy to all of our listeners. Thanks again to Evan for joining us. And until next time, I'm your Uplift Athletic Trainer, Dr. Brandon Holland, reminding you that the difference between a bad day and a good day is your outlook. Change your attitude, change your life.
And I am the unapologetic athletic trainer, Dr. Donita Valentine, reminding you to stand up for something because if you don't stand up for something, you will fall for anything.
Love it, love it, love it. So until next time, we'll see you. Don't
Oh,
forget
that's
the.
just like
Yeah, that was awesome.
it's a musical. It's a
Yeah.
musical called Hamilton, and one of the songs, Hamilton goes, "Give me some knowledge, blah blah blah. If you stand for nothing, then what do you fall for?" So yeah.
Yeah,
Yep.
indeed. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the underscore top underscore DAT. You can find us on LinkedIn at top dash DAT1. It's top dash that and the number one. You guys make it an incredible life. See you next time.